We're turning to the passage that we read together, Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, and in verse 32, the Lord said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Lord, while here on earth, He exercised a personal ministry among men, a ministry through which He directly touched the lives of many needy souls. As the man Christ Jesus, our Lord, moved among society, exercising in many, many ways His powerful ministry. One of the features of it was to call sinners to salvation. Going through the various areas of Palestine, the Lord issued the call, of which our text speaks. It was issued to certain individuals. We see that in verse 27. After these things, the Lord went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and He said unto him, Follow me. This call came to Levi, to Matthew, as he is more commonly known. The Lord is not physically with us today, but His work in calling others to Himself is ongoing. It has not ceased. What the Lord commenced here on earth has continued after His ascension to glory. In the opening words of the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Luke refers to all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which He was taken up. The thought here is that what the Lord began to do and teach in His own personal ministry continued after His resurrection. And that is clearly demonstrated in the remainder of the book of Acts. The Lord's ministry, His work, still continues. It has not ceased. The one who called Matthew is still calling the wandering ones to Himself. Our text, along with its context, clearly shows that this call is imperative if we are to be saved and to inherit the kingdom of heaven. As the Lord called Matthew, so He is calling you if you're unconverted in this service. Oh, do not turn away your ear from hearing. Hear the call, the gospel call. Respond to it, and God's so great salvation will become yours. Now, as we think of this gospel call, first of all, let us consider together the proclaiming of this call. The Lord tells us in our text that He came to call sinners. How is this call proclaimed? How does it reach the ears of lost humanity? How did it come to Matthew? Well, we see in verse 27 that he was called by the words that the Lord spoke. The Lord went forth, saw this publican named Levi or Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, he spoke these words, follow me. And it's through the Lord's word that we are called to himself. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the verse 13, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, we read these words, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Sinners are chosen to salvation. And then the verse 14 explains by what means we are brought to salvation, whereunto he called you by our gospel. It's through the gospel, the word preached, wherein the gospel is revealed, that the call is made to hearts. Oh, the word of God is sufficient to bring sinners to saving grace. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the verse 15, it's written of Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. And Paul can say, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, the power of the word to reveal Christ and his so great salvation. And as a denomination, our work is emphasized here. If we are to remain true to our calling, we must not deviate. We must not be diverted from preaching the word. Some have left preaching to the side. They have brought in drama. They have brought in the praise band in an effort to draw a crowd. By this means, these inventions, they hope to reach the masses. It's not the Lord's way. We have been commissioned to preach the word. Let us not deviate from it. It was by the word spoken that Matthew was called. The word came to him from the lips of the Savior, follow me. It is primarily by the spoken word that the Lord calls us from our sin to himself. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 25, we read that the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. What is the preaching of the gospel? It is the preaching of Christ and him crucified. The gospel is the proclaiming of our Lord's glorious person, of his atoning work. It is the good news how that Christ was once offered to bear the sins of the many. But you ask, who are sinners? Is it the case that you have no awareness, no consciousness of sin? The scriptures conclude, all under sin, preacher and hearer alike, all sinners in the sight of God. We all recognize the presence in our society, in our family circle, the presence of death. It's no respecter of family ties or persons. The Bible says we all must needs die. And why is that? Romans 5 and verse 12 gives the answer. Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Oh, what a preacher of the reality and the fact of sin death is. God, in love to our souls, in His amazing grace and boundless mercy, He put our sins in Christ's account. They were laid on Him. There on the cross He suffered for sins the just, for the unjust. His blood was shed, men and women, for our remission. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Christ, who died for our sins, He rose triumphant. He is seated at the Father's right hand, a Prince and a Savior. O lost soul, perishing soul, look to the Savior. The Lord commands you to look. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. There's salvation in Jesus Christ for your soul. Salvation from the guilt and the power of sin. The proclaiming of this call. But then we think of the person of this call. The Lord is the speaker in our text. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The thought is that there is one to whom they are called. The lost are brought to a definite person, to Christ Himself. Matthew was called, as we have seen, called by the Lord in the words, "Follow me." Why are we called to Christ? He alone can meet us at the point of our spiritual destitution. The Lord's sufficiency is highlighted in verse 31, responding to the criticism of the scribes and the Pharisees. The Lord Jesus said, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." A doctor is of use only to those who are sick. The healthy, the physically robust and sound would never think of going to the doctor. The Lord is teaching us, just as it is sickness that qualifies one for the physician, so it is sin that qualifies a lost soul for Christ. The self-righteous have no interest in the Lord, but He is the Savior of those who see and know themselves to be all unrighteousness, sinful and lost. He receives, He saves sinners. As the great physician of the soul, there is a sufficiency in Him to supply your need. For this reason, the gospel is a call to come to Himself. Remember the words spoken in Matthew 11 and verse 25, when the Lord Jesus said, rather verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Oh, the Lord could focus all attention on Himself, for He alone is the Savior we need. "All that the Father giveth me," Jesus said, "shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Oh, there is a sufficiency in Christ. And there is a sympathy in Christ for sinners. If there's one thing that draws the sick to the physician, it's the sympathy of the physician. And one of the qualifications of the high priest of old was compassion. In Hebrews chapter 5, we read of the high priest under the law. Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2. "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity." Do you see how the high priest in his role among the people was full of compassion, full of tenderness and sympathy? And the Lord was truly full of compassion. Look at Hebrews 4 and verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." The heart of the Son of God is all compassion. In Matthew 14 and verse 14, there is a vivid portrayal of the tender heart of the Son of God. Matthew 14 and verse 14. "Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." The Lord who wept over Jerusalem and would have gathered its people as a hen would gather the chickens under the wing, he is not willing that you should perish. All day long, his hands are stretched forth to receive you. He longs that you will come just as you are and trust in the finished work of his cross. Even those who crucified the Lord, he did not turn them away, but plucked them as brands out of the fire. Christ has a sufficiency as our great physician of the soul. There is that sympathy in him. And we think of the skill that Christ has as the great physician of the soul. A skilled, competent doctor is a great blessing to the sick. Job's friends, sadly, he had to say of them that they were physicians of no value. Christ is not that kind of physician. In Matthew 4, verses 23 and 4. Here's what we read of the Lord. He went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. What we have read illustrates the Lord's ability to deal with every aspect of sin, its guilt, its defilement, its power. He can break the chains that bind you to your sin. He can blot it out, remove it from you as far as the east is from the west. Oh, all that you need, your great spiritual want, he can meet, for he is the mighty to save. And then we consider together finally the purpose in this call. The Lord makes it very clear that he came to call sinners to repentance. The gospel call is one to repentance. What is repentance? Oh, it's wonderfully illustrated and taught in the context to verse 32. And we see that repentance is a following after the Lord. When the Lord commanded Matthew to follow him, he was clearly teaching that there had to be a forsaking of sin, a turning from it. Notice in verse 28 that he left all, rose up, and followed him. Matthew turned from the old life to a new life. We're reading about a feast in verse 29. He made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. This was a farewell feast. From this point onwards, Matthew intended to travel in the opposite direction from his old associates. Repentance is a turning from sin to the Son of God, the Savior. Will you take this step? Turning from your sin, leaving all your ungodly ways and haunts and associates for the Lord's sake? Oh, those of you who will not take this step, have you counted the cost? Except you repent, you will perish. Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, repentance is a following after Christ. It is fellowship with Christ. Levi, Matthew, made him a great feast in his own house. He had fellowship and communion with the Lord. The Lord was now the head of his house. His home has been rearranged. The home is now the place where he communes with the Lord. Well, the gospel calls on you to come to Christ and receive him as the King of your life. Give him the very first place. A feast is a happy situation, a joyous occasion. And Matthew, the young convert, is gaining an insight into the blessing that the knowledge of salvation brings. It is not gloom, but gladness. It is not sighing, but singing, sup with Christ, and the feast will be one of everlasting joy. And then we see that repentance is faithfulness to Christ. Matthew was not ashamed now of the Lord. The former companions were in the house and they saw Matthew's new allegiance, his new master. Let the heathen be ashamed of their idols. Let no one who knows the Lord be ashamed of the only Redeemer. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And therefore Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Having tasted and seen that the Lord is good, Matthew, he brought as many as he could of his old companions to meet the Savior. He was bold in sharing the faith with others. He was anxious that they should turn and seek Christ and join him in the narrow way. The Lord tonight is calling you to himself, calling you to repent, to turn from all your sin, and put your trust in the work of his cross. The word preached has been applied to your heart by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is drawing you. All be saved. His grace is free. All be saved. The Lord died for you. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. May you do an about turn, and may you make the Lord your choice. Then all heaven will rejoice. Be in time. Come with us, for God has spoken good concerning his people. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. May you then be counted in and numbered among the Lord's redeemed people.